chapter 13, and we're going to get started reading verse 32. I don't know if we're going to be able to finish everything, because at a certain time, I'm stopping. Amen. We got to get y'all home. Y'all got work in the morning. Y'all ain't going to come. Y'all try to stay late tonight. All right? And so in verse 32, let's look at it. The Bible says, "And Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, answered and said, 'Let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's sons. For Amnon only is dead. For by the appointment of Absalom, this had been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. Now, therefore, let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart to think that all the king's sons are dead. For Amnon only is dead.' But Absalom fled, and the young men that kept the watch lifted up his eyes," the Bible says, "and looked, and behold, there came much people by the way of the hillside behind him. And Jonadab said unto the king, 'Behold, the king's son come, the king's sons come, as thy servant said, so it is.' And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept, and the king also and his servants wept very sore." Father, add a blessing to the reading, to the hearing, the exposition of the most holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Saints, you know where we are in 2 Samuel. You know that Amnon, amen, he lusted after his own sister Tamar. He couldn't do anything to her because of the chaperones and the guardians and the strategies that were in place, amen, to watch over the Hebrew children back then. The Bible says, but Amnon had a friend, Jonadab, who we will speak of tonight again. This wicked friend concocted a plan for Amnon to get Tamar alone, amen. And Amnon did just that. He faked like he was sick. David came in. He said, "Man, send my sister so she can cook for me," amen. And David did that, and Tamar went. Amnon put everybody out of his house except Tamar. They were alone together. And he told her, "Lie with me, my sister." She gave him a slew of different reasons why they shouldn't participate in sexual immorality. But he didn't listen to her. Amen. There was no reason that could stop the burning of his lust on the inside. And so he forced her and he raped her. And the Bible says that after that, he hated her. He put out the house and Tamar ripped her coat of many colors. She also began to mourn, amen, put ashes on her head. And we also noticed that she began to cry. And what that was exposure. She was telling everybody what Amnon had done. You see, Absalom heard about it, and he told his sister, he said, "Hold your peace. Don't worry about it. Big brother got your back. He's going to take care of business." David also heard about it, but unfortunately, David didn't do anything about it. Amen. If David would have done something, some type of justice, some type of reprimand, reprisal for what Amnon had done, the story might have turned out differently, but David didn't do anything. Amen. Let's see what else. Hallelujah. Absalom invited all the king's sons to a sheep shearing. It was 2 years he waited. He invited all the king's sons. The king's sons came. Amen. Absalom said, "Wait until Amnon is nice and toasty, takala, drunk, amen, and right when he's married, go ahead and slay him." And that's what happened. Absalom's men killed Amnon. News traveled to David, and the news was bad news. It was a false report, amen, a bad report. And that's what we covered last time. The news went out that all of David's sons had been killed. Hallelujah. David believed the false report and began to grieve. He rent his garments and lay down on the ground. He began to grieve. Amen. And we talked about false reports. We talked about our predisposition to believe bad news. And we just ended off with a question. Whose report should you believe? Amen. Because they got two reports out there for you. The devil got a report of what you are and what you're going to be. And God has a report. Amen. The devil has a report about your future, and God has a report about your future. And so we have to make a conscious decision, amen, about whose report we're going to believe. Now, saints, tonight, we want to pick up in verse 32. And the title of this message is simple. The title is Jonadab. Somebody say Jonadab. Jonadab. All right. And we're going to have 3 points tonight. The first point is and Jonadab. The second point, for Amnon only is dead. And the third point, as thy servant said. So without further ado, let's begin looking at the first point, and Jonadab. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother, answered and said, let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's son. Hallelujah. Now, we got to remember, y'all, who Jonadab is. Jonadab is David's brother's son. Amen. David has a brother by the name of Shimea. Shimea has a son, and that son happens to be Jonadab. Amen. Jonadab, if you remember, is the one that gave Amnon the wicked plan, the wicked scheme to get Tamar by herself, all right? This is the same one. We don't hear about him when Tamar is being raped. We don't hear about him, amen, at the celebration when Amnon is being killed, amen? But all of a sudden, when the dust settles, the dust clears, hallelujah, Jonadab pops up again, all right? He pops up again. David thinks that all of his sons are dead. Jonadab, in this verse, verse 32, he corrects David. Jonadab says, let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's sons. And what happens here, saints, he actually gives David some good news. He actually clarifies the false report that David believed. He actually, hallelujah, gives David a good report, gives David truth. Hallelujah. When David was believing a lie, Jonadab straightens it out and blesses David with the truth. This is a good thing, you see? But even though it's a good thing, it doesn't mean that Jonadab is good, saints. Amen? All right? You got to remember that Jonadab is the reason why this whole thing has happened. You got to remember that, all right? Like we say in the law, causation, all right? Causation, what was the cause of everything? And in the legal field, we have a test. It's called the but-for test, amen? But-for, the water on the ground, they would have never slipped and fell, amen? But-for, you running the light, the accident would have never happened. Well, but for Jonadab's plan, Tamar would have never been violated. But for Jonadab's plan, Absalom would have never hated Amnon. But for Jonadab's plan, Amnon would have never been killed. Amen? So it's all his fault, his blood on his hands, and he comes to try to do something good right now. The same one who is the cause of all of David's troubles right here, is the same one trying to pretend to be the remedy and to be the solution. All right? Y'all with me so far? Y'all with me? All right? We just talking about Jonadab, okay? Listen, some people, saints, here's the revelation. Some people can do you right, do you good, in a situation for a moment, tell you the truth, give you a good report, help you out of a bad situation, and still be your enemy. All right? All right? All right? All right? This is a discernment thing. This is a discernment thing. And I'm trying to give you, amen, a key to discernment. Because I don't want you to be simple. For people to just be able to come up and give you a pie, a cake, amen, help you change your flat, amen. They do one good thing for you for one situation, and now you're head over heels. Me and you will never part, amen. All right? Is that how easy it is, amen, for you to let all your guards down, amen? Because really this is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Coming to David pretending to be something when his record shows that he's not that. Amen? Anybody hear me up in here? All right? So here it is. They had an old, let me see. They had an old song about it. I think the song came out of the church. smiling in your face. All the while, they want to take your place. What do they call them? The yes. All right? All right? Now, listen. Now, listen. Now, I'm trying to teach you something. All right? I'm trying to teach you something. All right? And the teaching is a two-pronged thing. As we look at Jonadab, Philly, I don't want you to be a backstabber, and I want you to watch out for the back. All right? You got to watch out for them, all right? You see? Because they're going to pick you up with this hand while the knife is in the other. Anybody hear me? I'll pick you up and... A2 Brutus, you know what I'm saying? All right? We talking about Jonadab, all right? Listen, listen, don't be a backstabber and watch out for them, you see? You see, because your girl could be helping you out with your kids, lending you money, you see? Picking you up and dropping you places, all the while trying to get with your man while you're not looking. Don't let somebody's one good deed throw your discernment off. Right? Right? I'm trying to help you now. They got some Jonadabs out there. You got some people that you bless and you hire them to work for you, or you bless them with a job and hello, you bless them to stay in your house or use your vehicle. And that same person, amen, that you blessing and everything look good on the surface, could be the person that's stealing from you. Amen. When you're not watching. Amen. Somebody cool with you in your face. Hallelujah. Nothing but smiles when you're around. Biggest smile there is, you can see all of them teeth, every single one of them. You know what I'm saying? But as soon as you turn your back, the smile changes. You ever saw somebody's smile change right quick? You ever caught them with a quicker eye like they, you know what I'm saying? And then they go to talking about you and backstabbing you. Listen, listen, that's a Jonadab spirit, all right? That's a Jonadab spirit. It's a spirit that betrays those that they pretend to love. You see what I'm saying? It pretended to love David. But it really was a betraying spirit, right? We got a lot of that in the Bible. And look, listen to me, listen to me. Amen. I'm trying to give you the game here. Because you don't want to be duped by one of these. And you don't want to be one of these. Amen. All right? And it's quite easy. Amen. As we look at the Old Testament, we see, amen, pictures of traitors and betrayers. Amen. Delilah betrayed Samson. You with me so far? Amen. Act like she loved him, had him in her arms, and asked Samson, where doth thy strength lie in? You know what I'm saying? While the Philistines was in the closet and they had the bag of money. You see? But Samson thought that she loved him. Samson thought that, hey, God, this was the best thing that happened to him since sliced bread. But what he didn't know, amen, was that she was on the enemy side. She had sold him out. And the moment he revealed the secret, they cut all of his hair off, blinded him, and put him in a Philistine prison. You see? That spirit of Jonadab, that spirit of Delilah. There's not only Delilah, there's also Absalom, which we can't talk about at length here because we're going to get to him sooner or later. Amen. But he had a betraying spirit. You see, he betrayed his own father. There was also Judas. Judas, amen? That old Judas spirit. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you something about that Judas spirit. Judas fits, amen, in this narrative of Jonadab to the T. You see? Because Judas, just like Jonadab, he betrays, hallelujah, somebody he's pretending to love. He betrays them fiending, acting like he's good to them. That's why Jesus asked him. Jesus says, betrayest thou me with a kiss? You're going to come and kiss me? And act like you're my dude? But at the same time, you're coming. The Roman guards that you done sold me out to, for how much? 30 pieces of silver. They footsteps right behind you. Oh, yeah, they got them out there. And I want to tell you, if they had them in our Lord's 12, they're going to have them in your 12. If they had them in our Lord's first church, they're going to have them in our church. The key is to be able to discern them, know them, amen, and most importantly, make sure that you are not one of them. Come on, give God some glory, amen. I tell you this because the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us himself in Matthew 24, he tells us that this characteristic, amen, is going to amplify as the days come to an end. Meaning that as we get closer and closer to the return of our Lord, this character trait of betrayal, of being a traitor, amen, is going to be amplified, amen, in humanity, in people. And so Jesus says it. He says it in Matthew 24:10. Jesus says, and then in these last days, because this is the last days discourse. This is when his disciples ask. They say, Lord, tell us, hallelujah, when shall these things be? And he goes through a whole discourse of the last days. And so he tells them in this discourse, in Matthew 24:10, he says, and then shall many be offended. Amen. In the Greek here, if you're looking at your new translations, it literally means many shall fall away. Many shall leave the faith. Christianity is not going to be as strong as it once was. Amen. Amen. And then look what he says. And they shall betray one another. And do what? And hate one another. And remember, he told us before in another text, as the days, hallelujah, come closer to approaching, the love of many shall wax what? Wax cold. Amen. And that Judas spirit, that Jonadab spirit, is going to be something that we're going to have to watch out for. Something that we're going to be tempted to be a part of. But Philly, my prayer for you tonight, that while all the other churches and all the other people betraying and stabbing one another in the back, that we be not like Jonadab, we be not like Judas, but we be like Jesus tonight, amen? That's what we want. And what I'm calling for is loyalty tonight. That is the opposite of Delilah. That is the opposite of Jonadab. That is the opposite of Judas. It is the opposite of Absalom. And it is the direct correlation with Jesus. We're talking about loyalty tonight. The Bible is saying that disloyalty is going to run rampant in the last days. And we see it, saints. We see it all over the place. We see it in families, amen. Brothers and sisters stabbing each other in the back. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? And you got to know that this is part of the satanic, Luciferian, Ashkenazi system, amen. They want all of us not to be loyal to anybody else but ourselves. Amen. And Jesus prophesied it. Jesus said, listen, in the last days, father going to betray son. And son going to betray father. And mama going to betray daughter and daughter mama. Hey, God, this is just, it's going to be, hallelujah, a culture of disloyalty. Where everybody out for themselves. And to let you know that I'm not lying, amen, Paul talks about it in his epistle, amen, to Timothy. And Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, just to get you familiarized with the context, Paul is prophesying about the last days. And Paul says, this know also, all right, this know, all right, this is with certainty, and I'm saying it through the Holy Ghost, Paul is saying, and you can count on it. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be what? Lovers of their own selves. And this, my friend, is where betrayal comes from. This is the root of disloyalty. When you love yourself above everybody else and above God himself, amen, you ain't about to sell yourself out for nobody. Anybody hear me up in here? I mean, that dude gonna talk that big talk about taking time and not ratting on you. Man, you gotta be crazy. The Bible saying he telling on everybody. He gonna sing like a canary in a cage. Amen? Because he only loyal to himself. You see? And as the days approach, it's gonna get worse. Amen? Now, one of the characteristics, look what he says. I mean, look, he says they're gonna be loving themselves. I'm gonna move fast, sound boo. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents. We're seeing that. Unthankful, unholy, in verse 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, no self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good. But here we get to verse 4, and Paul, given all of the characteristics, he names one that's going to be there in the last days. What does he say? Traitors. Traitors. Jonadabs, Judases, Delilahs. I pray to God that we don't get caught up in the spirit of this world. You see? I pray to God. I pray to God. Listen to me. Betrayal means that you give somebody up that you're supposed to be loyal to. And you give them up to the hands of the enemy. You see? I'm going to tell you that this starts off in the home. We learn loyalty in the home, all right? And because of that, all of the movies and everything that they feed in our kids and the way that we live in and the schools that we go to, amen, they actually unplug in the love and the loyalty in the home, amen. And you can see it, man. Hallelujah. Kids not like they used to be with mama and daddy. They go to school, they got a different life at school. They do different things, amen. They got different, amen, wants and desires, amen. And when mom and dad infringe upon that, you'll see a little girl or a little boy, amen, turn their back on mama, amen, in a hot second for a little boy or a little girl that they've only been knowing for 3 months. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? I'm talking about loyalty, amen. And that thing happens first in the home. Now, as parents, saints, you got to train your children up in the way that they should go. And the way they should go is loyalty, to be faithful, amen, and to be right. You don't want them with that Judas spirit. And listen, you will see early the movements of that betrayal spirit. All right? You're going to see it between sisters and brothers. You know? They're going to talk about each other like a dog in a minute. Anybody hear me up in here? Now, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. All right? I'm talking about going out the house and talking about your sister or your brother like a dog. Like a dog to people you don't even really know like that. Because you ain't got no loyalty to him. You ain't got no loyalty to him. You see? Not only that, amen, you got to know that disloyalty is rooted in jealousy. When you see your kids being jealous of one another, you better put your foot on that quickly, amen? Put it on it quickly. She got, I have, you know what I'm saying? And they looking at it as me and her, amen. But my wife has taught me over the years that she grew up in a different kind of thing than me, all right? But what she's taught me over the years is that you don't train up siblings to be me and her. You train them up to be us. You understand what I'm saying? We won. I'm with you. I'm down with you. Now, you're going to do some things I don't like, all right? And I will talk about you. And I may talk about you to you in your face. I'm going to talk about you to mama, to daddy. I'm going to call up our other siblings and say, man, you just heard what Tyra did. You understand what I'm saying? But as far as talking about everybody, talking about you to everybody else, man, that ain't happening, man. That's not happening. That is not happening. And so you train that up in your children. Listen, if they can't be loyal to sister and brother, that they live in the same house, would come out the same womb, eat at the same table, they tear the toast in half to give one to the other. If you can't be loyal to that one, How are you going to be loyal to anybody else? Well, you. This is the foundation, baby. What pains me is when I see parents disloyal to children. I ain't saying no names. But I done seen parents go out and talk about their children like a dog. That's that disloyalty. Now, if your mama not loyal to you, if your daddy not loyal to you, what hope have you to learn loyalty and be loyal in the other areas that I'm about to cover? Oh, God, help us. You see what I'm saying? So what we're seeing is a perpetuation. You see what I'm saying? A snowball effect of this loyalty that begins in the home. All right? They get out the home, amen. Now they got to deal with friends. Man, I'm not being loyal to no friend. After that, they go into the workplace. Oh, they're going to talk about the boss like a dog. The one that's paying them. And the root issue is you have not learned loyalty. It don't mean that you don't have no ills with somebody. But you got to know what to say and when to say it. Amen? All right? I remember Chantel Grandma, she used to talk about people. But while she was washing dishes to herself, she'd be like, I can't believe he said that. But other than that, you don't catch her talking about nobody. You go ask her what she says, you're going to say, I ain't talking to you. Why? Loose lips sink ships. Man. So listen, we need to really teach them, amen, this familiar loyalty where you teach your kids, nah, man, we cut for one another. Amen. We with one another. Amen. Daddy is with you. Mama is with you. All right? Now, let me go deeper. Your kids will be able to tell if you with them or not. You. All right? Anybody hear me up here? When you so selfish, you put yourself first. Your kids see that. And immediately when you put yourself first, you have taught them a lesson. Me first and everybody else last. Now, the funny thing about that is that what we sow, we reap. And so as you put yourself over your kids, you've sown something into your kid. And when you need that very child, that you would not give money to, but you took the money, you kept the money, you took the leg, you kept the leg. When you need that very child to give to you the action that you should have gave. Listen, man. Listen. We grew up messed up, man. In a lot of ways, you're doing them like they did you, man. And we need to be renewed. It's that Judas spirit. And so listen, I got to keep going, but I did the family and it was out of order, but let me just keep going. All right, I just felt it, so I went with it. But our first loyalty goes to God. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? It goes to God. Amen. And we learn about Demas in the scriptures. And just quickly, just to tell you without losing too much time, for Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world. Don't you ever forsake God for something else. You be loyal to him as he was loyal to you and went on that hill of Calvary and died for your sins. You see, you was a sinner and you deserved death and hell. Amen. And you was out that bad. Hallelujah. And if at any time the Lord could have been disloyal to you, it was when you ain't had nothing, when you was at your worst. Amen. Hallelujah. But when mother and father forsook you, the Lord took you up. He said, I'm not going to leave you. Hey, God, he said, Lord, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. He has been faithful to us. The Bible says, even when we are unfaithful, he abided faithful still. Anybody hear me up in here? So a love like that, a sacrifice like that, to die for our sins, to die for the ungodly, to change the direction of where we're heading, we're going straight to hell, to die for us and make a way for us to be saved. And not do it in a way where we have to pay for it, where we got to, hallelujah, be smart enough for it, we got to be a certain color skin for it, we got to be born in a certain home for it. Nah, he did it. He demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us and told us, if you just call upon me, I'm going to save you. That's faithfulness, that's loyalty, and that's love. And so what we see here is that our God wants us to mimic him in that. Love one another as I have loved you. You know, be loyal to one another as I have been loyal to you. You see? And so that loyalty starts off, hallelujah, number one, loyal to God. Number two, loyal in the family. Number three, listen to me good, loyal to your church home. All right, I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to put it out there. And let me tell you, I understand that Christ is first. I understand that. But if you think that, hallelujah, we're going to put Christ first and you're going to treat Christ's bride like a dog, then you don't even know Jesus like you think you know him. Amen? Because he said, whatsoever you've done to the least of these, my brother, you've done it unto me. Amen? And so we got to learn how to treat one another in the church. And let me tell you, what we need in the church today is loyalty. It's loyalty. We got to get that Judas spirit out of the church. And we got to be one with one another. We got to cut for one another. Listen, this whole thing that we're doing with the key of David, that's loyalty. Yeah. That's love. I'm with you. And I ain't going to stab you in the back. Somebody say backstabber. Yeah, so you be loyal in your church with one another, with the deacons, with the ministers. And oh God, be loyal to your pastor. Please be loyal to your pastor. All right? And I'm going to be loyal to you. You know what I'm saying? Now, don't mean I ain't going to talk about you. Yeah, I'm going to talk about you. All right? But I ain't going to talk about you with everybody. I'm going to sit down with my wife and talk about you. You see what such and such did? You heard what he was doing when he wasn't at church? You know what's going on? Yeah, I'm going to talk about you. I'm going to talk about you. I will talk about you. But when I talk about you, it's not to be disloyal to you. It's not to stab you in the back. It's not to take you down. I'm talking about you so we can come up with a plan to pull you off of that addiction, out of your bondage, so you won't smoke weed and cut up no more while everybody's not looking. This is why I'm going to talk about you. And so, yeah, I may even talk about you with Minister Ed. I may do that, all right? But I'm going to talk about you with everybody. And the talking about you is to restore your soul. Amen. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? All right? And so like this loyalty, amen, this Judas spirit that's floating around the world in these last days. Somebody say, Lord, deliver me and keep me from a Judas spirit. Come on, give God some glory, amen. All right? Not only that, you be loyal to God, loyal to your church, loyal to your family, amen. But to me and my spirit, Hebrews, specifically speaking to you, because we have been so decimated as a people, we need to restore loyalty to one another as a people. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? And listen, I'm not picking on any other races, amen, but we just want what y'all already have. That's all we want, amen, what I'm saying? We just want what y'all already have, amen, and we don't have it, amen. So I'm preaching about it, amen. You should be loyal to your people, man, you know. Look out for one another. Cut for one another. try to give each other some business. You see? Not really backstab one another. You see? Certain things, amen, you wouldn't do to your people if you love your people and you was loyal to your people. We got some in here that's coming to church and you're trying to get yourself cleaned up, amen, but you're still on them streets hustling. When the bills get tight and stuff like that, you know that you shouldn't be doing it and you feel conviction about it, amen, or you wouldn't be here. But the times get rough and the money get low, you go out there to try to turn some corners and make some money by selling drugs to your people. I want to tell you, amen, I'm not trying to be condemning, but I am trying to be convicting. That's a Judas spirit, amen. Because for yourself and your bills, you're going to sell out your people and kill off your people by selling drugs. That's not a love thing. That's not a love thing. That's a selfish thing. And let me tell you, I'm not condemning, amen, because everywhere you done been, I done been and probably did more than you. Anybody hear me up in here? But when you come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and come to God's love for his people, the things you used to do, you shouldn't do no more. You should not be in this church listening to this word while still going out, flipping some corners, hustling. You're going to have to choose who you're going to serve. Hey, if drugs be God, you serve him. But if God be God, you serve him. How can a man have two masters? You see what I'm saying in here? It's a disloyalty. It's a Jonadab. You see, besides that, amen, all that gang banging like going on in Chicago, in Little Rock. Want to throw up some sets and shoot some people for some land that you don't even own. The projects is not yours. The hood, you renting that house. What are you tripping on your set? What set? You don't have a set. The TV set you own is rent to own. You don't have nothing. Your territory. What territory? Them people can put you out of that tomorrow. What said? You don't own nothing. In fact, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's not even yours. It's not even yours. It's not even yours. And if he decides to send the waters like he did with Katrina, you're going to figure out right quick that none of that is yours. Oh, God. It's not yours. So what we see in the gang banging and the killing and the bloods and the crips and all of that foolery, we see a Judas, Jonadab, Delilah spirit that murders our own people, our own flesh and blood. Kill them dead, shoot them, kill them dead. While mamas and wives and daughters and sons weeping at the funeral. What is that? You call that love? That ain't love, man. That's disloyalty. And that's Judas. I'm just being real. I'm just being real. I'm just being real. Listen, these rappers and entertainers, that's glorifying the gang lifestyle. Got you wanting to be this and wanting to be that. Got you wanting to hustle and sell drugs, get rich or die trying. You want to look at all these people on the videos and get all their music. And I know you don't know what happens while you're listening to the music, amen. But that stuff is getting in your spirit, amen. And while you listening to that and this rapper got beef with somebody, you thinking about who you got beef with, amen. And he talking about he going to ride by and shoot him. And guess what? You riding by his house and you won't shoot somebody. You are what you eat, naturally and spiritually. So if you feel yourself, these rappers and entertainers are Judases and Delilahs. They leading us into gangbanging, drug dealing, or fornication and adultery with these principalities of lust of these women, amen, dressed in as though it were bathing suits to come out and perform in public. Some of the ones y'all want to name y'all children after, who you think is the best entertainer, is really in the spirit a principality of spiritual wickedness in high places, used by God, used by the devil, amen, to put perversion in our people. Listen to me. Just like the gangbangers, just like the male rapper entertainers, they just as much Judases and Delilahs as them. Because this one tear up the streets, but this one right here tear up homes and make men adulterers and make little boys full of lust and pornographic. They Judases. And I don't care how much they make and how many awards they win on TV. I can care less about the Golden Globe, the Oscar. That ain't nothing. When we get to heaven, you think God gonna ask who won a Golden Globe or not? No, 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 no. No, 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 no. He ain't gonna be worried about that. So I'm not worried about it either. We call them stars. They actors and singers. They not stars. They ain't saw a star. Let me tell you who the bright morning star is. Jesus is the bright morning star. There ain't no star. A star of what? A star of what? What kind of star? What? That's no star. You're an actor. You know how to memorize lines and put your emotions on camera. And they have these same people. I'm going off. But they have these same people. I'm fasting. I'm going crazy. Just, you know what I'm saying? They have these same people, amen, speaking into the direction of our country. And what credentials do you have? You could play Rain Man and you could play. And you're going to speak into whether homosexuality should be considered right. You're going to speak into things that's way above your pay grade. You're an actor. You're an actor. You started performing on a stage in the cafeteria. You're an actor. You have no right to speak in Judas's, all right? Listen, Judas's. And the very ones you allow your children to have their pictures on your wall. Let me tell you what they are. Let me give you a name for them. They're prostitutes. And guess who the pimps are? The Ashkenazis are the pimps. And they pay these prostitutes for a service. And what they do is, the service is to stab their own people in the back. Jonadab. And you think they're doing you good. Betrayest thou me with a kiss. Have mercy, somebody. Listen. I done went over my time as the first point. Listen. Listen, man. We gonna come back to it because I'm not keeping y'all late for no reason. You see what I'm saying? Listen to me. You don't want to be like that. You don't want to be like that. And I guarantee you, in your life, if you have this characteristic, you will see disloyalty on the different tiers that I spoke of. It will not be on one level. All right? It's going to be on almost every level because it's a pattern of behavior that you picked up based upon, hallelujah, the conditions and the atmosphere that you was raised in. And so you're going to see it with your parents. You're not really down with them. You're going to see it with your siblings. Who cares? You're going to see it on your job. You're going to see it in your church. You're going to see it, amen, with your friends, in government. And you could even see it with your relationship with God. My prayer is that you would not be that way. But that when you look at people, you would be real. All right? And you wouldn't have nothing behind your back. You'd be real. No fake smiles. You'd be real. And if I can't be real with you, why am I in your presence? Why am I working for you? Why am I here? If I can't be real with you, why am I? Listen, man. The Bible says that God wants us to be at peace with all men. And there are some people that you can't be at peace with. So separation is what you got to do. Oh, that's it. Pastor told me to leave my husband. I never said that. But all I'm saying, if you got a Benedict Arnold, man, and Judas and Delilah your whole life, get out of that situation and go someplace that you could be real. You see? You don't want to be two-faced. The Bible says, don't cry, I'm almost done. The Bible said that we should have love for one another unfeigned, which means unhypocritical. you know, not two-sided. That we should have love for one another without dissimulation. You see, it's not two-faced, two hearts, you know. It's a pure love. It's a pure heart. What I'm praying for this church is that we would not be like the world around us that's waxing worse and worse. That we would not be like the people around us who are becoming more and more treacherous and more betraying one another more and more. That we would not be like that. But that we would be the opposite. And that we would be loyal. In the first place, your loyalty starts is with a God that has been so loyal unto you. Amen. That's where your loyalty starts. With a God that has been super loyal to you. How loyal has he been to you? Amen. This much. He stretched out his hands and he died on that cross of Calvary so you could be with him. If you're here tonight, amen, and you have not been loyal to God and you're not saved tonight, amen, you say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved. Some of the things that you describe, amen, I'm into those things, but I don't want to stay like that. I see the error of my ways. I'm convicted by it. And the Word has pointed its finger right at me. I want a new heart and a new start. I want a pure heart. I want clean hands, Lord. And God tells us, he says, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, I'm going to give you rest. He says, though your sins be red as scarlet, I'll wash them as white as snow. He tells us, he says, I'm a Savior and write my laws upon your heart. So you won't have to strain to obey me and do the right thing. I will cause you to walk in my statutes. But that only comes after salvation. If you're here, you want to be saved, just pray with me now. Just bow your head. Just close your eyes. Don't worry about who around you in the premises and the facility. We got that all under control with the help of the good Lord. You focus on Jesus right now. And you say, Lord, thank you for loving me when I didn't love you like I was supposed to love you. Thank you for being loyal to me when I was disloyal to you. Lord, I want to admit some things. I'm a sinner. And I've fallen short of your glory. I want to apologize tonight for not doing you like you've done me. I'm sorry. But I believe that you still love me. You love me so much. You died on the cross. You were buried in the grave. And on the third day you rose. And you promised me, Lord, that if I believe in you and call upon you, that you would save me and forgive all my sins. Lord, save me, a sinner. Have mercy upon me. And wash me with your blood. I believe in you with all my heart. And Lord, I need some help. Make me loyal in a culture of disloyalty. Let me be loyal to my spouse, my children. Let me be loyal to my church and the leaders. Let me be loyal on the job with my friends, with my people. And most of all, Jesus, help me to be loyal to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory, saints. I tried to get through more, but I only got through one. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with peace. Peace in your body, peace in your mind, peace in your family, peace on the job, and peace amongst your people. Prosper you and bless you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Love y'all. Be blessed. Right here for a second.
Come on. Notice something today, how we all coincidentally we always